This morning we turn together to the Gospel of Mark. We consider verses 30 through 44 of chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, we revisit the feeding of the 5,000, in which the Lord Jesus Christ clearly portrays to us what it is to be a minister of the church, how it is that one is to minister towards the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. Give heed now to the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in 50s. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Great God in heaven, we thank you for the manna that comes down from heaven. Your Son, the incarnate Word, and also your Word, right now before our very ears and eyes, Lord, we thank you for it feeds our souls. It once again reminds us of the care of the shepherding that we have through the blessed hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we meditate upon Jesus' ministry to his people, Father, may you encourage our souls this morning. May you, O Lord, strengthen those who are downcast. May you encourage those who are afflicted. May you bring peace to those who are disturbed. May you encourage the officers of this local congregation to, in all things, follow the example of the supreme shepherd of the sheep. In his name, Lord, we pray. Amen. It is the dream of many Brazilian parents that their kids will become famous soccer players. It is their dream because soccer players make a lot of money. Soccer players are very famous. And because soccer then is such a popular sport in Brazil, there is this tendency of parents to take their children in very young age to the soccer fields to observe other good players playing. And that really is the beginning of it all. Well, the little Brazilian kids, as they observe the players making their moves, the dominion they have with the ball, how they are able to mark goals from midfield, they realize, well, that's exactly what I want to do. I have those gifts. I can do those things. There was a given day when my dad did that with me. And that was a day that I figured out I could never be a soccer player. I have no gift whatsoever. I can't even play with marbles, let alone with a soccer ball. But the way in which I realized that was seeing other men doing that, what real soccer looks like. You see, perhaps one of the biggest problems of the church today is that the church tries to minister to God's people without observing where true ministry is found. Sometimes we take as an example the ministry that takes place in other churches. Sometimes we take, for example, or as an example, the way in which ministerial labor takes place in the mega churches. They're so successful. They're so filled with people. They must be doing it right. But you see, as we turn our attention to Mark chapter 6 this morning, we go back to where ministry truly may be learned. We go back to the feet of Christ. And through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, elders and deacons, we learn how to minister to this congregation. It is looking back to the Lord Jesus Christ, people of God, that we learn what to expect from this man. And therefore, as we turn our attention to these verses, let us be reminded that like Jesus, like the supreme shepherd of the sheep, church officers must serve with compassion and dedication, pointing the sheep to the supreme shepherd always. This is how ministerial labors, elders, deacons, this is how ministerial labor must take place in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It is following the example of the supreme shepherd of the sheep. And what this ministry looks like, this is what it looks like. It is compassionate. It is with dedication. And it is always pointing the sheep to the supreme shepherd. Like Jesus, church officers must serve with compassion and dedication, point the sheep to the supreme shepherd. In verses 30 to 32, we notice the first way in which the Lord Jesus ministers to the sheep. And it is identifying exhausted sheep and bringing them to refresh their souls. We shepherd like Jesus when we seek to refresh exhausted sheep. Verse 30 tells us that the apostles now are coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ and giving the Lord Jesus a report, but coming back from where? Well, if you look back at chapters 7 through 13 of the same chapter, you notice that they're coming from the mission the Lord Jesus told the apostles then to pursue. They were going in the highways and byways. We have in those verses the sending of the 12 to heal, to preach. And now they have come back. They are exhausted, but they are excited. The text tells us that they are telling the Lord Jesus Christ all that they have done and taught. And it is precisely in this context that the apostles were busy traveling and teaching. The text tells us in verse 31 that they didn't even have time to eat. The Lord Jesus looked at them, and acknowledging their need for rest, the Lord Jesus says in verse 31, "Come aside by yourselves. Rest for a while. Let's go to this deserted place and let us rest there." You see, this takes me all the way back to the book of Exodus, doesn't it? The people, weary, exhausted of a slavish labor in Egypt. And what does the Lord do? What does Yahweh do? Come out of Egypt. come to the deserted place. I will give you rest there. I'll shepherd your soul there. You see, the Lord Jesus is doing exactly what Yahweh did all the way back in the book of Exodus with the apostles. Come to me, he says. The first thing you should notice in verse 31, elders and deacons, is that the Lord Jesus has this desire to be with the people that he shepherds. It's not a Zoom meeting that is taking place here, is it? It's not a PayPal relationship. It is a close relationship. There is a disposition to personal communion between the Lord Jesus Christ and the men that are sheep to him. Yes, these are the shepherds of the people along with the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the apostles, as the very word chosen by the Spirit of God in verse 30 to designate, to describe these men. Here we have it. And yet these are the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is shepherding them. And it's not a distancing shepherding. It is a close shepherding. It is not a disconnected shepherding. It is a personal communion shepherding. But the second thing I would like to bring to your attention is that there is a personal understanding of the need of these men. You see, that's exactly what we experience in our homes, isn't it? Especially those who have little ones in your house. When the hour is late, the kids get very grumpy, but they still want to play. They still want to stay up. But immediately, what do you say? Someone needs a nap. Or someone needs to sleep. You see, the disciples here, the apostles, they are excited. The text tells us that they are telling Jesus all that was going on, all that happened. But Jesus knows they need rest. The shepherd has this sensibility to look at his sheep and say, I know what you need. And I will take you to where you need. And I will be there with you as you need it. I will minister to your soul personally. As a good shepherd, the Lord Jesus knows that to minister in an effective way to the disciples as a group, he must deal with them in a more personal way, understanding their need. The Lord Jesus is ready to refresh the exhausted souls and bodies of his apostles. And that's what true shepherding looks like. We minister like the Master, personally, affectionately, and seeking to understand the exhaustion of the sheep, reaching them in their particular need. But secondly, verses 33 and 34 tells us a second characteristic of Jesus' ministry, which is that the Lord Jesus is heartily sensitive to the care of the sheep. We shepherd like Jesus when we are sensitive to the needs of the sheep. Well, the text tells us that the Lord Jesus moves them through the aid of the boat, verse 32. They take a boat and they go to a deserted place, but the multitudes saw it. The multitudes that desired the Lord Jesus Christ, desired his company, desired also his miracles, they seek the Lord Jesus. Here we have in verse 33 a clear picture of the popularity that the Lord Jesus had already achieved at this time, so early in his ministerial walk. And this man, the text tells us in verse 33, they follow the Lord. It says, they on foot, they go from all the cities, to the point that they arrive there before the Lord Jesus himself, who is going with the boat and his disciples to that very same location. Well, what happens when the Lord Jesus sees them there? Sometimes when we arrive home, exhausted from our work, and the kids still want to spend time with us, what do we tell them to do? Go watch something on the TV. Go get a tablet. Go read a book. Are you done with your homework? We want so much some rest that we have really no desire to be with the needy that the Lord Jesus placed in our own homes. But that's not the shepherd of the sheep, is he? Verse 34 tells us that the Lord sees the multitude. And here, brothers and sisters, please pay close attention to verse 34, because here you have an x-ray of the soul and heart of your shepherd in heaven. The Lord Jesus is one who is compassionate towards those who are in need. Look at the text. The text tells us, he sees the great multitude and he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. We have here a picture of Jesus' heart towards needy sinners, don't we? We know here how the Lord Jesus sympathizes and cares and is deeply emotionally, if you will, involved with his people. The text tells us that he is moved with compassion. How so many times that is different from ministerial labors in the local church? You see, our form described both elders and deacons as ministers. Did you observe that? Our form calls the elders, the ministers, or the ministry of the elders are those of the are those who are under the supremacy of Christ, and they also call the minister or the ministry of the deacons as those who are the merciful hand of Christ. In a popular way, we address the pastor as a minister, but our form is saying that these elders, these deacons, they are ministers in the sense that they are servants of Christ. And if we are servants of Christ, are we not then to copy Jesus' way of serving his people? Are we also not to cultivate the same heart compassion, heart connection, heart moved desire to serve the people of God with engagement, with involvement? You see, the Lord Jesus is described here as one who is deeply desires sacrificially to serve the church. Look again at verse 34. Moved out of compassion, the Lord Jesus then began to teach them. That's how he ministers to them. Communicating to them the word of the Father. Instructing their souls. The Lord Jesus is speedily doing what those souls so desperately need. And why is that? Because they're like sheep that have no shepherd. That's how Jesus sees those who come to him in need. You see, sheep without shepherds are very, very frail creatures. They are confused creatures. They are creatures who are ready to be snared by all sorts of enemies. Needy sheep is a description of someone who is in a spiritual wasteland. And how does the Lord Jesus then respond to that scenario? Moved in his heart, his blessed divine heart, compelled by the emotion of compassion, he exercises then his ministry towards those sheep in that way. The Lord Jesus is sensitive to the needs of the sheep, and so must we, ministers of God's people. Sensitive, compassionate, offering heartfelt service. Thirdly, we notice here in verses 35 and 38 that the Lord Jesus now encouraged others, in this case the apostles, to care for the sheep. We shepherd like Jesus when we encourage others to engage in care, to engage in service. The text tells us that the day now is coming to an end, and the disciples are worried. What they're worried about? They're worried that they have this multitude to feed. Now, here's their solution. Let's get rid of them. What a shame. That's the very first impulse. Look at verse 35. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "Look, this is a deserted place. Already the hour is late. Send them away. We want to have no responsibility over them. Send them to another church. Send them to another pastor. Perhaps they will come back next morning and we can continue to teach them. But right now, when things are getting super dangerous, right now when the need is right before our eyes, right now when we need to take the responsibility not only to feed their souls, but to minister to their material needs. No, Jesus, that's too much responsibility. We don't want to do that. Send them away. What a true shepherd does. A true shepherd does not send the sheep to another pastor. A true shepherd keep the sheep within the bosom of his care. The Lord Jesus then encourages the disciples to come alongside him and to minister to that multitude. Look at what he says. He says, he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." Now, this is very fascinating. In the Greek language, when we want to know where the emphasis is in a sentence, we look to the position of the personal pronoun in the sentence. Notice here, the personal pronoun, was rightly placed in the beginning of the sentence. So when you see that in the Greek language, you have the personal pronoun beginning the sentence, that is where the emphasis is on that personal pronoun. The personal pronoun is you. You give them to eat. Not other sheep, not other pastors, not sending them away. You. You roll up your sleeves. You gird up your loins. You get ready to compassionately, desirously, personally, you serve them. What is very interesting in this command, in this emphasis for personal service, is that the Lord Jesus puts the disciples in the midst of the people. Look at verse 38. They respond to the Lord Jesus not believing what they are hearing. He says, should he get 200 denarii worth of bread and give them to eat? Perhaps 200 denarii was on the purse that they were carrying. That's a possibility. And 200 denarii would definitely not feed 5,000 people. But notice what the Lord Jesus responds in verse 38. He says, how many loaves do you have right now? What are the resources that you have available to you right now? And then he says, go and see. Go to the midst of the congregation. Go to the midst of those who are here and need pastoral care and check with them. Talk to them. Speak with them. Spend time with them. Listen to them. Receive from them. Notice again the emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in a disconnected, not in a distant ministry, but the Lord Jesus is encouraging his disciples to copy his own ministry. That's how we serve in the church. It's not through the example of some mega church out there. It's looking back to Christ. And this is how Christ shepherded his sheep, encouraging others to come alongside him and to serve the congregation. Step up. Be a leader. Go into the midst of the people. Ask those who are in need. Try to find the resources. Come back and let's serve them together. The Lord Jesus does not try to discourage the disciples. The Lord Jesus does not go with the disciples' suggestion. But the Lord Jesus infuses in them the fervent desire to personally minister to God's people themselves. But lastly, in verses 39 through 44, we notice that the Lord Jesus now is the one who feeds them ultimately. Because whom else can feed anyone so? But the Lord Jesus Christ himself. No matter how well the disciples could have counted those loaves, no matter how well the disciples could have gathered material resources, everything must be brought back to the feet of Christ so he will minister to his people. Through his agents, through his officers, but it is Christ himself who serves his people until he comes again. And we see that clearly in verses 39 through 44. Look at the text. The text tells us that the Lord Jesus now organizes the whole scene. It really reminds me of the Apostle Paul saying that everything must be done with order and decency. Verse 39, we read that the Lord Jesus commands them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. Does that ring a bell to you, Christian? Who makes me sit down in green pastures? Who is it that lays us down peacefully, calmly, and he feeds our soul and sustains us despite of all tribulation and trials? Do you see an echo of Psalm 23 here? Isn't it beautiful to see it here in this passage? The Lord Jesus seat them in green pastures. He is the shepherd of his sheep. He is the shepherd of his sheep. And then he organizes them. The text tells us that the Lord Jesus set them down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. But look at verse 41. It is Jesus doing the feeding. And someone could say, well, isn't that kind of contradictory? Because the Lord Jesus had just said, you give them something to eat. But now the Lord Jesus takes the leadership and he goes on feeding. And that's not contradictory at all. Because without Christ, we can do nothing. Without the Supreme Shepherd, there's nothing we can do. And without the Supreme Shepherd, whatever we do is wrong. Whatever we do backfires. Whatever we do will not bring him glory. There's no contradiction. There is just a reminder, Christian, that although these elders have been appointed to serve this local congregation, it is Christ through them serving this local congregation. And although the Lord Jesus has set aside these deacons to serve the congregation, it is Jesus himself serving his people through this man. And when we have this realization, isn't it easy then, as we have said in our form, that the congregation will submit to this man as unto the Lord? And isn't it as well easy then for this man to exercise their work in the dependency of Christ, seeking the power of the Holy Spirit, and in fear of the Supreme Shepherd of the church? It is the only way to do ministerial labor. It's to look back to Christ. And it's to be reminded that we must copy him. That every word, deed, sentence, reaction is molded in the holy, blessed mode of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he feeds them, the text says. He feeds them, first of all, look at the text, verse 41, pointing them back to the Father. The Lord Jesus points them back to the Father. Blessed that he looked up to heaven, verse 41, and he blessed the bread and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. Now, I trust you to remember that in John chapter 17, in the Lord's Jesus' priestly prayer, that's exactly what he said to the Father in his prayer that he did. That he continually point them to the Father. This is what the Lord Jesus is doing. He's pointing these people to the one who indeed can feed their souls. It is not those loaves. And right after that, at least that's what we notice in the Gospel of Luke, you see this miracle is... We found that in Luke chapter 9, and then in Luke chapter 11, we see the Lord Jesus teaching them the Lord's Prayer, which says what? Give us this day our daily bread. Who is giving the daily bread? Who is providing the sustenance? Who is feeding the flock? It is God himself. God is doing that through his Son. And the text tells us that the Lord Jesus breaks it. He divides it. And then the food is multiplied. No disciple could do that, but Jesus can, because he's God. No mere man can break any sort of food and make it multiply to feed 5,000 people, but Jesus can, because when the Lord Jesus touches with his divine hands, whatever it is, it prospers, it multiplies, he saves, redeems, strengthens, and faithfully executes the mission that he was given to pursue. And that's how we shepherd people. We shepherd it like Jesus. We shepherd like Jesus when we point the sheep to the Supreme Shepherd. Now, how can we use this text then practically to our lives? Let me give you three uses this morning. Three uses at least for this text this morning. First of all, it does work, this text, function as a blessed example and model to guide the ministry of this local church by the elders and deacons. Elders and deacons, we are challenged this morning as ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ to refresh the souls of the exhausted sheep, to sensitively care for their needs, to encourage people in the local congregation to serve and to be engaged in the life of the body, and to continually point the people of God to Jesus Christ Himself. May all of us this morning copy the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in our own ministries in this local church, and God will be glorified. The same way He was glorified in the Son, the Lord will be glorified in us when through the power of the Holy Spirit, He empowers and strengthens you in this desire to follow the example of your Supreme Shepherd as you minister to the souls here in this local congregation. May the Lord bless you in that. May the Lord give you that compassionate care, that understanding spirit, the desire to be close, not to be distant, not to be separated, but to be involved and close with inward affection, with external words of care, with actions and gestures that shows, like the Lord Jesus Christ, that you love this people that the Supreme Shepherd placed here. But secondly, this text also helps us as members of the local church unto two things. Number one, it helps us to know what to expect from the shepherding of this local congregation. It also helps us to give both elders and deacons feedback in how they're serving this local congregation as those who are served by Him, as those who are being served by them, and as those who are looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for this ministerial example. You see, these texts here, these principles of refreshing exhausted souls, being sensitive to the needs of the sheep, personal involvement and engagement, encouragement unto new leadership, pointing the sheep constantly to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what, people of God, you should expect from these men if they are seeking to minister to you the way Christ ministered to His sheep. It also helps the congregation, in a second point, it helps the congregation to identify who the Lord Jesus Christ has girded and separated for this office. You see, in seminary training, we speedily learn when we come to the class called ecclesiology that we do not separate a man to serve in office with the expectation that through the office he will mature and he will exhibit the requirements in the text of the Word of God for them. You see, the ordination is simply a recognition. Don't you remember that that's exactly what happens in Acts chapter 6? In Acts chapter 6, the apostles tell the congregation, find men who already have these characteristics. And once those men with those characteristics are found, then they are separated. The ordination and the installation is not placing you in an apprentice position, but is the recognition of this local congregation that the Lord has given you indeed the gifts to exercise the ministerial duties to which you have been separated unto. The same thing the Apostle Paul does in 1 Timothy, doesn't he? He says, the elder must be, and the deacon must be. There is a recognition that those marks are already there. So how do we nominate men and bring them before the attention of the elders? As we observe that they are already exercising these activities in the local congregation, even without office, that they are serving, that they are fervently engaged, that they are pursuing to be a help and to be an instrument in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the service of the local congregation. That's how we find new officers. It's not through old age. It's not because someone is a CEO in some sort of company. It's not because he gives the highest tithing. It's not because he's the oldest member in the congregation. No. It is because he ministers like the master. If he is ministering like the master, then the master has separated him for that office. Let us acknowledge it. And let us have that man set aside to service. But lastly, our last use. This text, brothers and sisters, remind us how Jesus is today ministering to our souls. The Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't he? That's how he identifies himself in the letter to the churches over and over again. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. I am atemporal. I do not change. Christian, this is how Jesus continues to serve your soul. Compassionately. Attentive to your needs. Present with you. He died for you. Will he not be present with you? Raising men, like you see this morning. Raising leaders. Encouraging other men to continue to care for his people. And always pointing you to his coming. Reminding you, lo, I come quickly. Do not be overburdened by the trials and tribulations of this present time, for I overcame the world, and lo, I come. The Lord Jesus knows and sees your exhausted soul. The Lord Jesus continues to be sensitive and compassionate towards your needs. This text reveals the heart of Christ to you, Christian, whom he saved through his blood. This is not a distant Savior, but is one who is close to us, to the point of death, to the point of bringing us before his blessed table, and reminding us frequently that his blood and his body was shed for us. Let us therefore be encouraged this morning that even if the local pastors, the local ministers of the congregation fail, the Supreme Shepherd does not. He will continue to shepherd us until he comes again. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, we thank you for your word, which instructs us and guides us and encourages us. And Lord, we thank you for our great shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord, Savior, Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray with humility, with humbleness, with acknowledgement that without you, O Lord, we can't do nothing, that you would lead the ministers of this church, the elders and the deacons, walking in the footprints of the Lord Jesus Christ in their ministerial labors. Grant them, O Lord, love for this congregation. Grant them, O Lord, that they would be sensitive to the exhaustion of souls here in this local church. Grant them, O Lord, an affectionate, close ministry to each one of the sheep that you have placed here in this church. Lord, grant them that they would encourage others to step up and minister with them. And help them, O Lord, to continually point every single member of this church to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his death and resurrection. For in him alone, our souls are fed. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray these things. Amen.